John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest men to ever live on the face of the earth, was asked the question once, how much money does it take for a man to be happy? And his response was quite powerful. He said, just one more dollar. That response is so telling. That response is so powerful. Recently, the Wall Street Journal released research on how much money people say they need to be happy. It was so interesting to see the general breakdown of the responses of that research. Almost to a T, every single person said they needed 50% more money than they currently had. So the person who was making $25,000 a year needed $50,000 a year to be happier. The person who was making $100,000 a year needed $150,000 to be happy. And the person who's making $250,000 a year needed $350,000 to be happy. Every single person responded in line. And this is something that I looked at and I was like, wait a minute. I've definitely been there. When I was making $10,000, I was like, I just need to make $20,000. When I was making $60,000, I was like, I just need to be making $90,000. Well, really, I was like $100,000. Now I'm making whatever it is that I'm making. I just need to make $200,000. You know, like it's always growing. It's always more. And that reminded me of that quote that I had heard from John D. Rockefeller, which is just one more dollar. And so what does this tell us? It tells us two things, two important things. One, no matter how much money we make, it will never give us the happiness that we seek. It will never, ever be enough. And then two, the new will eventually become the old. In other words, our baseline expectation grows in accordance with all the new things that happen to us in life. There's something called the hedonic treadmill, which is basically we stay on this treadmill and we get accustomed to whatever new baseline that we have of life. So the person who was making $30,000 and now making $60,000, all of a sudden, once that gap is closed, once we get accustomed to it, now it's no longer enough and we need to make $90,000. The person who's making $200,000 a year now needs to make $300,000 because we've gotten accustomed to where we are. And so we keep striving. Because it will never be enough. My favorite writer, as you guys know, Morgan Housel, in his book, Psychology of Money, he has a chapter where he talks about doing everything you can not to move the goalpost, not to allow your desire to chase more and more cause you to keep moving the goalpost and you never get to a place where you actually enjoy the fruits of your labor. I love a quote in the Bible. I love a passage in the Bible where Paul is talking about something around this topic. He is writing to a church in a city called Philippi. He visited on a regular basis, and this church had helped him in multiple different ways. And he's writing a letter to them to say thank you for some of the things that they had done for him and some of the things that they had sent to him. But he also makes a very key and interesting caveat. And this is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, 11 to 13. He says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's the line that you see everywhere. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody knows that line. Philippians 4:13. We love to say it in Christendom. We love to share that one. But what we don't talk about is the lead up to that line. A key thing that Paul says, he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In other words, what I got from that verse is he had to learn it. It's not something that is natural to us. It's something that he had to grow into. It's something that he had to, over time, get accustomed to and get used to the idea. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, oh, wait, that actually makes sense. Because for a large portion of being a human being, being content and being comfortable or being okay with the current situation basically led to your death. You had to be paranoid. For a long part of human civilization, before we became civilized in a sense, if you weren't paranoid, if you weren't always looking over your shoulder, if you weren't always searching around the corner, making sure it was safe, that if you weren't on your tippy toes, you ended up dead. And so for the longest time in human history, you were better off being paranoid, being concerned, and never being content with where you were. And it has served our mankind so well. It has served us so well to not be content, because it has led us to where we are now as a human species. It has allowed us to do some of the great things that we are able to do today, because people were not content with how life was at the point that it was there. People were like, no, this is not enough. We have to push the boundary. But here's the thing, though. This place to be is great to push our species forward, but for our own personal well-being, it can be one of the worst places to be in. I mean, if you think of somebody like Elon Musk, the amount of things that he's done for society is so great. I mean, with Tesla, he has pushed the entire auto industry into taking electric vehicles seriously. With SpaceX, it's changed the way NASA used to do things with the space program. With Starlink, it's basically, he beat Google to be able to form a company that we're able to provide internet to people from anywhere. And then even before all of these things, there was PayPal, which basically changed the way that we are able to pay for things on the internet. So we can see how his discomfort, his lack of rest, his need to push further and further has helped us go further in life, has helped the human race go much further in life. However, the same thing that pushes him to be uncomfortable, to be paranoid, to keep pushing forward, is the same reason why this man has been divorced 3 times. It's the same reason why he says some of the things that he says on social media. It's the same reason why he bought Twitter. And look at how that is going right now. And even not just Elon Musk, we can look at one of my favorite investors of all time. One of the people that I've learned so much from is Warren Buffett. I mean, I used to be like, oh, I want to be like Warren Buffett. I want to be like Warren Buffett. But when I understood the fullness of what it looked like to be like Warren Buffett, I was like, I don't want that. Because you learn about some of the costs of what it is to become like a Warren Buffett. You learn about some of the broken relationships he has with his family, which I think some of it are better now, but still. You read about how one day he walked in the house and he saw his son fall down the stairs, and he was so engrossed in the fact that he was focused on stocks and picking stocks that he stepped over his son. Or the weird dynamics of relationships he had with multiple wives, and one was for show and one was to be hidden, and all of these things. And it just rubbed me as like, you know what? I don't want that life. And I don't want the desire to continue to chase the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, especially when our drive is primarily a drive because we want more money and more money or more things. And we believe that the next thing I accomplish, that's the thing that's going to give me the happiness that I seek. The next door that I open, that's the thing that's going to give me the desire and the happiness and the thing that I'm looking for. Because it won't. It won't. I love a quote from somebody named Derek Thompson. He has a really good blog that I read a good bit. And he says something very interesting in a conversation with Morgan Housel. He said, money is a vaccine against misery, not a drug for happiness. A vaccine against misery, not a drug against happiness. In other words, all money can do is make life less miserable, not deliver happiness. And we all intuitively know this, because when somebody is asked the question, what are the most important things to you? What are the things we cherish the most? The answer is always my family, my friends, the relationships that I have. And yet, a lot of the times, those things fall to the back burner because we have this need and this desire to chase after all of these accomplishments. And I'm not saying this as somebody who is saying it from his high horse. I'm saying it as somebody who regularly struggles with this desire for more and more and more. I said it once upon a time that the reason why I talk about contentment so much is because I struggle with it so much. I have a desire for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And so I put this post out. I think I shared it one time in the newsletter that my new goal in life is not necessarily to have the, is not to chase after the next dollar, but my new goal in life is slightly different. It's to be content in all things. It's to learn to be content in all things. To be content and be happy with my lot in life. To enjoy the present for the gift that it is. To enjoy the blessings that the Lord has given to me. To enjoy the fruits of my labor today and tomorrow. And that entire thing came out of me reading a passage in Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, that I just saw. And I was like, that's it right there. That is the ultimate goal of life. King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, the richest man on earth, dude was more depressed than most people. And he wrote this as this is the ultimate state to get to in life. In Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 20, he said, "This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives somebody wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart." What more could be awesome than to enjoy the work that we do, but then to enjoy the fruits of our labor, to be surrounded by our loved ones? What more could we want from life? And I was like, that is it right there. That is the goal. To enjoy what I do every single day. Which means that sometimes it means turning down a more successful and more seemingly higher paying job, or actually more money, because you know that more money is going to cost you a lot of the other things in your life. And so you have to say no. Rather than just chasing the dollar, you look at your entire picture and you say, if it's going to cost me the relationships that I have with my family and my loved ones, for me to be surrounded by my loved ones, which I say is important to me, I'm going to turn this position down. Why? Because it's going to cost me more than I can fathom, or more than I'm willing to give up. And so therefore, this is where it's important for us to learn to be content. Learn to enjoy the things that we have right now. And I love this prayer. Again, Solomon was so wise. He said this prayer. He said, "Lord, keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of God." In other words, God, teach me to be content with what you have given me in life. Don't give me too much that I stray, or don't give me too little that I have to steal. Give me enough to enjoy, like he said in Ecclesiastes, to enjoy the labor of my days on earth and to be surrounded with those that I love. Teach me to be content. This is my goal in life. And I pray for each and every single one of us that we learn to be content. I pray that in 2024, that we have the ability to be content. It doesn't mean that we don't strive for more. It doesn't mean that we don't strive to get further. But it does mean that we don't chase it, believing that it will make us happier. We know the blessings that we have today, and we enjoy those things. We don't just chase the next dollar, believing that will be the ticket to happiness. But we realize, like Derek Thompson said, money just helps us reduce our misery. And if we learn a certain level of life where we give ourselves just a little bit of room in life, then no matter what life throws at us, we we are always in a good place of contentment and happiness because we see life for more than just the dollars and cents. But anyway, that's all I got for y'all this time. I hope y'all learned one, maybe two things out of this entire thing. And I hope that as we go into 2024, we have an even better year than we had this year. And that we all grow in the attitude of contentment with what we currently have. This is the last podcast for the year 2023. And I'll be seeing y'all in the new year by the grace of God. I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for rocking with me. Remember, generosity is always greater than greed. If you want to give me a nice Christmas present, share this podcast with one person that you love, one person that you hate, one person you're just kind of like air about. And by that time, you just share it with every single person that you know. Also, leave a review for the boy if you enjoy the podcast so I can see how y'all are enjoying it. And then I'll read it, hopefully. I still haven't gotten a review that I can read on the podcast. Kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Anyway, thank y'all so much for watching and listening. Check out the newsletter. I'm really enjoying writing. But yeah, we'll catch y'all up in the next one. God bless each and every single one of y'all. And I'm out. Peace. Whoosh.